reactive oxygen species are mainly produced, you know, in mitochondria, for instance. And when these mitochondria, they are being overloaded because there's, for instance, high metabolism, high productivity, then the more oxygen consumed, the more reactive oxygen species is being produced. And we have to take care of these RUS, as it's called, reactive oxygen species, because they are really also kind of toxic, and we have to handle them.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. Kemin invites you to optimize swine health and nutrition. Dive in at Kemin.com/swine. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit barnes-na.com/animal-nutrition.
Welcome to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, where we explore the science behind swine nutrition. I'm your host, Jorge Estrada. And today in our podcast, we have Dr. Charlotte Lauritsen, who is a professor and head of the Department of Animal and Veterinary Sciences at Aarhus University in Denmark. Today, we will be discussing nutrition immunology in pigs. Dr. Lauritsen, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us. Before we dig into today's topic, could you please share a quick summary of your background?
Yes. Hello. Good morning. Yeah, my background is actually nutritional immunology. This is where I'm having my professorship. And you know, for many years ago, I studied lipids and fatty acids and vitamins in relation to sows and piglets. And I did that with the purpose of bioavailability and kind of taking the best nutrition into the productivity of the animals. But then later on, I slightly moved into this about nutrition in relation to health and diseases of pigs. And this is where I am today. So this was just a little bit a brief introduction on my background. Yeah.
WiseNetX turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads, we elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access WiseNetX.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
Appreciate doing that. So let's, you know, so many processes and you know, today's topic, we're going to talk about immunology and nutrition, right? So many processes in the animal are related with the immune system. Let's start with oxidative stress, right? Why is it such an important factor in pig health and performance?
Yeah, the thing is that reactive oxygen species are mainly produced, you know, in mitochondria, for instance. And when these mitochondria, they are being overloaded because there's, for instance, high metabolism, high productivity, then the more oxygen consumed, the more reactive oxygen species is being produced. And we have to take care of these RUS, as it's called, reactive oxygen species, because they are really also kind of toxic, we have to handle them. And I can only tell you a little bit of a story here that we know, you know, that oxidative stress occurs in human when they have, for instance, done an ultra marathon. So in the same way, you know, as human are also doing a lot of exercise, and we can see then oxidative stress is being developed. So it is with the sows, because they have been bred to give a huge number of piglets. And in order to both give birth to these piglets and also to make sure that the piglets are fed well and so on, it requires a lot from the sows. So right now, you know, my focus is very much working with or studying sows and piglets and the importance of oxidative stress and how we can actually manage this.
And then before maybe we move into the nutritional part of this, let's put another concept out there that might be important for the discussion. So what about inflammation? I mean, is there any way that we can manage or influence inflammation?
Yeah, somehow we can. The thing is that it's a very important and natural biological process. So, you know, an active immune system or activated immune cells, that will also create inflammation. So it's kind of a central part of the immune system. But we differentiate between this acute inflammation and then the more chronic inflammation. And we see the more chronic inflammation, for instance, in human patients. There are some severe inflammatory diseases in the gut, for instance, inflammatory bowel disease. And we are very much focused today on how can we actually manage via the diet such inflammatory processes. When it comes to pigs, you know, what I'm working with specifically is how we can handle these acute inflammatory processes occurring right after weaning of the piglets. So, you know, just this process of being weaned from the dam will actually cause inflammation in the gut of piglets. And also due to, you know, exposure to pathogenic bacteria, such as E. coli, it's also quite normal that if this infection is going on, a pathogenic infection in the gut, there will also be inflammatory processes. So, of course, these the activation of the immune system here due to a pathogenic invasion will be very important. But I think it's extremely important that we kind of focus on how to handle both oxidative stress and inflammation in order to prevent that they are not getting out of control. And this is where it is important to work with the dietary strategies. So we can both, you know, we can influence the composition of immune cells. A very good example is, for instance, feeding omega-3 fatty acids. And in that way, we can incorporate fatty acids into the membrane of immune cells. But also, there is a lot of work going on how to manipulate with the microbiome of the gut in the piglets. So this is about actually making sure that the microbiota is also controlled in the way that it will not escalate inflammatory processes in the gut. Yeah. Now, many nutrients by which we can handle and manipulate with such processes in the gut, yeah.
No, that's great. And I'm assuming, you know, of course, there is an associated cost, you know, from the resources standpoint from the animal when it comes down to oxidative stress or immune response, right? And part of that might be inflammation and other processes that go along with that. So, from the nutritional standpoint, what can be done through the diet to help control some of that oxidative stress or inflammation?
Yeah, so during my research, I have come to the conclusion that it is important to get started early. So, you know, there are those strategies where we can benefit the sow and then the piglets by using the sow milk as a vehicle. So we can actually transfer some important immune active substances and make sure that they are being transferred from the sow to the piglets. And in that way, we can prime the immune cells of the piglets before they are being entering the weaning transition. So this is one way. Also, other ways, of course, here in Denmark, we use creep feed for the piglets. And this is a supplementary feed being provided while the piglets are with the sow. But also here in Denmark, we are using also additional milk formula, because it is a problem today with those huge numbers of piglets within a litter. So often you need to supplement them with more milk. And so this additional feed is also a potential way by which we can include nutrients in order to actually work with this before the weaning of the piglets. And then on the other side, you know, the feed provided after weaning is of course also of high importance. And there we can also work with some different substances which can be used to manipulate and control oxidative stress and inflammation. Yeah, so this was a more general consideration, yeah.
Right. And I'm sure, you know, as you're saying, there might be different factors or different things that could be adjusted from the nutritional standpoint. You know, there's a lot of complexity in these processes. So we're getting to the end of the episode today, but before we go, could you share with our audience a little bit of, you know, from the overall impact of these factors in pig health and productivity, what are you after? I mean, what do you measure? What are the main things that, as the producer, you know, what can we measure to see what's going on from the oxidative stress or inflammation standpoint?
Yeah, so the thing is, now we are focusing a lot on getting biomarkers. And the reason for doing this is that we would like to, again, get an indication on when and how to prevent severe inflammation and oxidative stress. But it's a little bit difficult, you know, because one thing is research, where we can obtain blood samples, we can work with fecal samples and so on. So right now I'm also focusing a lot on how can we obtain indicators from non-invasive samples of piglets. And this may be used on a longer term by the farmer to obtain some early indicators that here, you know, the farmer needs to have a specific attention. And on the longer term, you know, this is also about preventing the use of antibiotics in the pig production. So here in Denmark, we have for a long time ago given up on the use of antimicrobial growth promoters. And also we are now focusing on how can we reduce even further the use of antibiotics in the pig production. So this is also why I'm within my research area so focused on how can we tackle these processes of oxidative stress and inflammation. Because I think herein there are some very exciting mechanisms which can be tackled via nutrition. So the broader, the big perspective here is, of course, that the farmer will be able, with the biomarker and nutrition, to handle the challenges which are often observed in a practical pig production.
Awesome. Those are great insights. And Dr. Larson, it's been a pleasure to have you today in our podcast. Thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Everyone, thanks for listening to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us some comments. Join us for our next episode.